today on Real Radio.
Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Christian, take those verses and make them your own. We are not to tremble anymore.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On this very special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called God's Plan in Our Troubles. Thanks for joining us, everyone. You know, today we're going to break away from our study in the book of Isaiah to bring you some comfort during these very difficult and confusing times. You know, now more than ever, we need to know that God is in control. He really is. That He still has a plan, even in the midst of a pandemic. The struggle and confusion, it's real. Quarantine, along with financial insecurity, can make us feel alone and anxious. And the thought of us or maybe a loved one contracting the virus, well, that can also fill us with anxiety and fear. Or maybe, quite frankly, we're in the midst of emotional pain because somebody we know has already been affected. So today on day two of this special message, Pastor Jack will continue in 2 Corinthians by reminding us that it's the Lord who comforts us in all of our troubles. Our strength, well, that's not enough when it comes to the tensions and pressures of life. We need to recognize that in order for courage to be possible in our lives, we need the Lord and the unlimited access to His strength that He gives us. And now in a message called God's Plan in Our Troubles, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Paul says, I'm telling you now, we had the sentence of death. It was declared. And some scholars, listen, it doesn't matter. We win either way. Some scholars say, this is Paul making reference to him being condemned by various courts throughout the Roman Empire, condemned to death. It could mean that, certainly. But listen, if you're preaching the gospel and you've been stoned, beaten up, and whipped, couldn't it mean that too? What about this? What about Paul also understanding that if Satan had his opportunity, he'd rip his limbs off, that Satan would tear Paul's head off? Because we wrestle against difficult things, right, in this life? I think it's very important. 2 Corinthians, we'll get to it eventually. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare, Christian, are not carnal, of this world, fleshy. That means they're not nuclear, they're not neutron bombs, they're not swords, they're not tanks, they're not F-22s. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You can set off a nuclear bomb and it doesn't affect the spiritual kingdom at all. Isn't that a weird thought? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Church, listen, God redevelops us when we come to know Him. God reconstructs us as Christians, and He battle hardens us. I'm going to give you a little montage of verses. Write them down. You're going to need them in life. I love them. You've had them before, but we need them again. Joshua chapter 1. They're all in chapter 1. It's great stuff. Man, this is great. Joshua 1. Now, Joshua was a general. He was a warrior. You think, well, what does he need help for? The guy's he was the general of the Israeli army. And he takes Moses' place. Who would want that spot? Honestly, would you have taken that? God says to you, I'm going to promote you. Oh, yeah, what am I going to do? You're going to replace Moses. I don't want that job. Can you imagine inheriting 3 million whining, crying, grumbling people? Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. No man, God says to him, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And all God's people said, amen. Isn't that good news? Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Christian, take those verses and make them your own. We are not to tremble anymore. Oh, the nation's falling apart. I understand that. I know that. My big concern is, God, will you hear our prayer, or is this the judgment of God? But will we not join with Abraham and say, regardless, shall not the God of all the earth do right? We will not be timid. Intimidation's a sin. And Paul says something profound, church. Never forget it. The reason why we gave up even on living, God used it to bring us to this point. Look, that we should not trust in ourselves. After studying this, I've come to this conclusion. I have no idea what he's talking about. I'm not being funny or trying to be cute. I don't get it. I've read it. I studied it. I've not been to this point of my life yet. It's coming, I'm sure. He is saying, I've reached a point, Paul the Apostle, in my life where in all of the things I went through, I had to go through them to come to this conclusion. I ain't got no strength. I can't save myself. I can't do ministry. I can't preach. I can't live the Christian life one more step without trusting in God. I'm convicted. You should be convicted on how much you and I lean upon our human resources. And Paul says, I'm done with it. Life's hardships are teaching us not to trust in ourselves. What are you going through? It's to teach you and I to not trust in ourselves. Difficulty causes us to see God's faithfulness and power in times of trauma. And when all else fails, my friends, listen, dear friends, listen, all else will fail. There's the Lord. In Revelation 21, verse 4, the Bible says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is where we're going. This is our inheritance. Is your 401k crashing? Is your retirement vaporizing? Hey, here's some retirement. I like the Rev 21-4 plan. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Does that sound nice to you? That's our retirement. The next thing we see in verse 10 is this. He wants us to be courageous because, listen, courageous in the face of past fears. We're going to go through this quickly. Mark it down. Past fears. It says here, who delivered us from so great of death. Past fears. Number one, Paul is referring to having been delivered from a life-threatening moment. It also means from a lost life of not knowing Christ. He delivered us, past tense. Think about all your past fears, all your past sin, all your past failures, all your past shortcomings, whatever you want to call them. The Bible says that we can be courageous because he's delivered us from so great a death. Paul is saying, man, we came out of this ministry effort alive, and for that we're grateful. Wow. The word here, delivered, circle it please in verse 10. Delivered us from so great a death, the word means, and it's going to mean the same thing all the way through. It means to pluck up out of the current. The word implies a vortex, to be rescued out of a vortex of water pulling you down. We sang the song, and by the way, there was no discussion between this message and the worship ministry this morning. There was a portion of the song where we sang that he rescues us. This word right here, to deliver, is where we get the word to be rescued at sea, to be plucked from the turbulent water, from so great, a dangerous, extreme, deadly situation. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but listen, will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, i.e. ministry, if I live or die, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. What a great declaration. Paul had such a grip of understanding heaven is real, that if I live, it's for heaven. And if I die, it's unto heaven I go. Hallelujah. I'm living for heaven. Church, are you a Christian? Then you're living for heaven. And when, well, what happens when I'm done living? To heaven we go. Makes you kind of want to march to heaven. When the saints go marching in. Wow. Thirdly, under this, courageous in the face of current pressures, not only past fears, look at verse 10, and does deliver us. Current pressures, God will deliver you. This implies that he is. The word means now. He's delivering us. You say, Pastor, I don't feel it. I feel like my hope has been abandoned. Hang in there. God is delivering you. He's in the work right now. I don't see it. I don't feel it. That's called, listen, that's why we're called to have faith. Hang in there. Don't give up. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you.'" What an awesome thing. Fourthly, under this second point, courageous in the face of future ills, past fears, current pressures. Verse 10 also teaches us future ills. In whom we trust that he will still deliver us. This is the assurance that you and I have. It not only speaks, number one, of his power to get us through all of the future troubles, but to get us through our moment of death into heaven, as I mentioned a moment ago. Listen, it's been a long time since I gave you this verse. Maybe some of you are new to the church and you've not heard it recently. You can't do better than this. All of this message, you could say this morning, is based on one verse, and it's not even in the New Testament. It's in the Old. Jeremiah 29, what is it? 11. God says, and he says to you, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Stop telling God what he's thinking. He says, "I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope." Jude 24, "Now unto him," God, "who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." That's Jude 24. Look at that verse. "Now to him who is able." I'm not able. You're not able. "Well, Pastor, speak for yourself. I think I'm able." Boy, do you have a lot of bruising coming. Because, you know, if you're a Christian and you think like that, God is going to say, I got a class you need to take. We've all got to come this way. Look in this verse. God is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you, what is that word? Faultless. Without fault, unable to be blamed, guilt-free. Not only guilt-free, but whatever was burdening you has been removed from you. You're not walking around now as a Christian and there's some skeletons in your closet. There ain't no closet. Jesus blew it up when he rose from the grave. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You know what? The Holy Spirit could have left out the word exceeding, or he could have left out the word joy, and it would have been fine enough. This is a compound expression. Before God's presence, you and I will be there with exceeding, uncontainable joy. What is that going to look like? Well, I'll tell you what it's going to look like, kind of, sort of. I think we will freak out in a way unexplainable. Why? Look at the next verse, Zephaniah. When's the last time you read Zephaniah? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Look at it on the screen. "The Lord your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save." He's not going to think about it. "He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet," the word is rest. "He will bring rest to you with his love." Isn't that sweet? He will rejoice over you with singing. Who's going to sing? Come on, class, let's hear it. Who's going to sing? God's going to sing. You're going to be up there with exceeding joy. And I'm wondering, just wondering, if part of that grand joy will be fueled by us in heaven and God coming up. By the way, I want to read this to you so you don't miss it. Will we have exceeding joy because the word here, rejoice over you with singing? This is what God will do. It means to spin around or about, twirl. The word means to be influenced by emotion. God. Bold rejoicing. Watch this. The word means to cringe the face or to show facial expression. There's other words that God could have used to communicate to you and I how excited he's going to be that you're there. You're going to be going like this. Yes. Awesome. God's going to go like this. Yes. Oh, The Lord, praise me. Praise me. And he's going to, God is going to go, yes. And we might say, God, what are you so excited about? You're here. You say, I think that's very irreverent I didn't write the Bible. God says he's going to spin around and twirl when you're in heaven. No wonder we'll have exceeding joy. Third, we'll end with this very quickly. It's very simple. Verse 11. Our lives are to make a difference. Three ways this challenge comes. You also, he says, helping together in prayer for us. This is a remarkable statement. Number one, write this down. Our lives are to make a difference. And so the question, he's challenging us. Will you work with us, O Corinthians? You also, notice, listen to the compound unity of this. You also helping together prayer for us. You can't get more pregnant a verse for help. And his call is, will you work with us to reach out? Secondly, look at verse 11. Will you reach out with us? Will you work with us? Verse 11. Verse 11 also says, will you reach out with us? You've got the opportunity to help these Muslim kids come to Christ in West Africa. But listen, did you know that that's just a tiny portion? I thank God that many of you take this seriously, the challenge, will you work with us? Will you reach out with us? When you do all the math and the calculations of what this church spends on mission ventures to get the word of God out, if it's across the street, the gospel, or around the world, it is beyond $1 million a year. You are sending to get the gospel out to the ends of the earth in mission outreach. That, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of money where I come from. That's a big deal. And in the end, you're going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you're going to go, what? You sent my gospel to the ends of the earth. You stepped up, you made yourself willing, you got involved, and you joined the ranks of reaching others. That is important. I delight in the day that we stand before God, and you're going to go, when did I do that? And you visited me when I was in prison, and you fed me when I was hungry, Jesus said. And you're going to say, when did I do that? Every penny channeled to the glory of God, to the ministry of God, dedicated to God. In God we trust, so God, it's yours. Do it. And God is saying, then let's do it together. And then we end with this, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. We end in verse 11. Will you care for them with us? Paul is saying, let's reach the world, Corinthians. Church, I want you to close your Bible and sit still for a moment as we wrap this up. I want you to think about this. Psalm 66 says, come in here, all you who fear God, and I will declare what has been done for my soul. For you, O God, have tested us, and you have refined us as silver is refined in the fire. Church, listen. Our troubles and our sufferings is for the furtherance of the gospel. Are you good with that? Because today, if you say, I'm not good with that, then you have a serious relational problem with God. If today you say, Lord, I abandon my life to you, I surrender my life to you, you are God, I am not, you are in heaven, the earth is your footstool, I am your creation, I present myself to you, I surrender to you, God. If you are willing to do that this morning, then your heart is right with God. If you still want to be the controller of your life, you're not right with God. I want to leave you with this picture. In reading for this message, I came across an account where one of the commentators, one of the authors, had said that he witnessed out at sea a man who had been swept off the deck of a boat, and the boat began to turn back around. It was a Navy ship, U.S. Navy. The guy had no life jacket. He was knocked off the deck over the side, and the swimmers got ready to go in the water, and the captain of the boat said, well, hold it, wait. The guy was really yelling and saying, hey, you know, and he was looked fine. And so all account, all reasons, jump in and get him. The water was turbulent, things were rough, whatever the situation was, they had to hold off. And the captain kept saying, hold it, just hold it, wait. The guy starts going under. hold it, wait. Now the rescue boat is surrounding the guy and they were still held off from rescuing the swimmer or the man overboard. And then they finally got him as he was almost dead floating in the water. He had gone down, as we would say, the third time. They scooped him up, put him in the boat. They got to the carrier and somebody had said, what did you do that for? What did you do that to him for? And the rescue swimmer said, there was still too much. When we got to him, there was still too much of him left. Listen, doesn't it sound cruel? There was still too much of him left. If we would have gotten in the water, he would have pulled us down with him. The very guys sent to rescue him to save his life, he would have killed both himself and us. We all would have been lost. We had to wait until he was out of strength in and of himself, then he could be rescued. Okay, get the picture? Then let's pray right now because there may be somebody sitting next to you. They've been treading water all their life. And life situations finally today have brought them to the point where they're nearly unconscious. And Jesus is now saying, today's the day. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Christians, be praying. Don't interrupt anyone right now. This is a holy moment. Father, in Jesus' name, I will not beg, Lord. I will not harp. I will not make it some big emotional deal. I'm asking you to speak to those this morning who are saying yes to Jesus, who they know they need to say yes to Jesus. And my friend, maybe you're here today and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And today you are going to say, because you agree, the hour is now, and I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the grave to save me because I now see I cannot save myself. And my life's troubles and perils and tribulations have brought me to this point of brokenness. I'm going down for the final time. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, do you believe Jesus rose again from the grave and that he is now waiting to save you from your sins and to give you eternal life, purpose, and meaning? It comes with just a simple reception of understanding you're the sinner and he's the Savior. As I look across the sanctuary, will you put your hand up if that's you today? God bless you. Awesome. Anyone else? God bless you in the back. Anyone else? God bless you to my left. Anyone? God bless you. And you to my far right. You can put your hands down. The decisions that you're making right now, everything that has happened in your life, God has engineered to this moment. This is a holy moment. All those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, says the scripture. If you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and God raised him from the dead.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a special message called God's Plan in Our Troubles. Thanks for joining us today, and Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio want to reassure you that we're all in this together during this challenging time. God loves us, and he's with us every single step of the way. That's the truth. And we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we want to remind you that Pastor Jack is offering live services from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, right there at the website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great time to feel part of a great community while we're dealing with social distancing. You'll also hear encouraging messages and important updates. So head on over to the website, click on that tab that's labeled Home, where dates and times are available so you can watch us live at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. One more time, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.